This is At The Line. I'm Ty Yeager, joined with Nick and Noah. Again, we have the wonderful Drew Eubanks joining us again. Drew, how are you doing during the offseason? Summer League just ended, but we're glad to have you back. But how are you doing so far in the offseason now, after 2 weeks of since our last recording?
I'm doing good. I just got to LA, been working out the past 3 days. I'll be here for like 2 weeks. But I've been good, just working out, trying to get back in shape a little bit, just because all I've been doing really is lifting and eating, and I've been playing basketball, but not at a competitive level, so been able to get in some playing time down here with some other guys, so just getting back in shape, getting ready for training camp.
All right, so we went ahead and asked Twitter and Reddit to give us questions for you, and we have, I don't know how many, we have like 30 plus for you. But we have a handful of questions that we're going to ask you between Nick and Noah and I. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, I'm trying to figure out.
Noah introduced himself.
Oh, Noah, Noah, are you here?
Sorry, give me one second. Sorry. I had to go. Sorry. I went to the kitchen real quick to grab some water because I knew my like lips were going to be dry. But now I am back. Sorry. Are y'all already recording? My bad.
Yes. Intro, brother. Let's go. Oh.
Sorry, might be.
Keeping this in. I'm keeping this in. That's just fun.
I was thinking that too. I was like, damn, is it Noah supposed to be in this? I thought, well, I didn't hear him talk. Maybe he's just not saying anything.
No, might be. Now I feel like I'm completely lost. Might be.
All right, Noah, you get the first question. since you came last, you get to ask the first question. Go ahead.
Oh, man, you're going to throw that on me right now. Okay.
Yes, I am.
I guess I'll start off with like not a serious question, but I was just really curious, and I think this is from Tangelo Intelligent 72 from, I think it's from Reddit. They asked, "Who is your favorite player growing up, and who did you model your game after?" And I'm also sort of interested about that as well.
Okay, so my favorite, so like you guys know, I didn't start playing basketball until like my freshman year of high school, which was about 2011, 2012, I think, and so. Before that, I'd even watch basketball. I didn't know who the hell anybody was. So once I started watching, that was really when the Clippers were taking off, and they had just gotten Chris Paul, and Lob City was a big thing. And so my favorite player growing up, and even still to this day, somebody I try to eventually hope to model my game after is Blake Griffin. I just like the way he plays. You know, he's physical. I mean, he can kind of do it all a little bit. Post up, take people off the dribble, now more than ever can consistently knock down a open jump shot and stuff. So he's really who I modeled my game after and who I loved watching growing up. Some of my favorite basketball memories were him with the Clippers. So
did you ever have like a Blake Griffin moment in high school? Because you got to imagine like with your athleticism, you were basically like Blake Griffin to like high school guys. Did you have a moment like that in high school where you just dunked over someone like that?
Yeah, I did. I think it was my senior year, and we were playing – I don't expect you guys to know what high school this is, but Sherwood High School. And I caught the ball. I was trailing, pump faked on the three. Don't know why the guy jumped. You know, it's high school basketball. I hadn't hit a three ever. Drove past him, and then some guy stepped up. I just destroyed this kid. And that was like my Blake Griffin moment that I can remember from high school.
Nice.
That's awesome.
there actually is a question that from Dallas Smith. I want to say this is on Twitter. He said, "Ask if Drew remembers dunking on Sandy High School first play of the game alley-oop right off the tip-off."
I don't, but I remember playing Sandy High School a bunch of times growing up because they were like a couple miles down the road from my high school. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I wish I could remember. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I did dunk a lot in high school because there was nobody who was really going to contest it. But appreciate that.
I guess this kind of ties in with you talking about your affinity for Blake Griffin and his shooting now more than ever. This is from Leroy Patterson on Twitter. Do you feel confident enough in your three-point shooting to show out this season from behind the arc? And I know we talked about it a little bit on our original pod, but like, if you wanted to expand on it for some people.
Yeah, definitely. I would say right now, in this moment in time, I've never felt more confident than I do in my shooting. Like I told you guys a couple weeks ago, Chip and I not revamped my whole shot, but changed quite a lot of things. And it's just really made me more confident in it. And he's told me, "Drew, you have a great shot. Like, you're one of the best shooters on the team when you shoot the ball." but your problem is you don't shoot the ball. And so right now, a lot of people don't realize it's not just good enough to be able to knock down the shots in practice. That's a huge part of it. But being able to have that mentality to be able to read a situation and know when and where to not shoot. I would say a good example of that is, like, in college, I could shoot the ball. I was really knocked down shooter from my mid range and stuff, but it wasn't in the game plan for me to do that. And so when I would take shots like that, if I made it, you know, coach couldn't say anything. But if I missed, then it's through, you know, that's not what we want you to do. We want you to be here, blah, blah, blah. So when you have like a voice like that, and it sticks with, it's not only that voice, but it's your internal voice too. So for me, this off season, I've kind of just focused on shooting without a conscience and shooting when I'm open, because being able to read and recognize when to take a shot or when to drive is huge. And so once you get confidence shooting and being able to just like shoot without a conscience, then it becomes more natural. And I'm sure you can name off a couple guys in the league who don't have a conscience when it comes to shooting, but that's where I'm trying to be, because I know when I shoot the ball, I have just as good a chance of making it as damn near anybody else on the team. And granted, we did just get a bunch of good shooters, but still, like, I'm not going to take bad shots. I try to only take good shots, but now this expands my range to be able to shoot a bunch of different good shots for me. It's mainly mentality and just getting used to having mentality, and it's having the trust of your coaches too to knock down the shot and to, you know, believe in you. So I feel like I have all those things this year.
I'm sure people are excited about that. We haven't had a big that can like really shoot in a while, so
really,
it's awesome.
You still there, Noah?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Man got more
have
water.
You asked a question? I've been listening. I'm letting everybody take their turn. I thought it was Ty next.
Oh, that's you.
Okay, so kind of following up off the first question, you know, I talked to you about, you know, did you have a Blake Griffin moment? But Diego Castillo, I believe from Twitter, they asked, what was your, you know, welcome to the league moment? What was that for you?
Okay, so I've been asked this before, and this clip always somehow once or twice a year, it always ends up back on like House of Highlights or something like that. But it's a clip when we played, it was my rookie year, we played the Warriors, you know, with KD, Draymond, Steph, Clay, all of them, Boogie. And it was at their place. I think somehow, some way, we must have started the game down. We must have just gave them 15 points right off the bat, because I found myself playing at the end of the first quarter. And so it was one of those games where we played all the young guys and stuff like that. And I remember all five of those guys were out there, KD, Steph, Clay, Draymond, Boogie. They were all playing. And so I think it may have been like me, Chemezi, Lonnie, Belly. Somebody else was out there too, but we were playing, you know, we were competing. And I remember I'd gotten back on defense. I had picked up somebody else's man. I'm trying to remember the play, but if you go afterwards and look this play up, it always finds its way to, like, somebody always ends up reposting it about the Warriors. But anyways, I got back. Nobody's guarding Boogie. So I come up from like the block, close out on Boogie. He drives, kicks it over to Clay. Nobody's guarding Clay. I sprint over, contest Clay. Clay passes it to Steph. I jump because Steph pump fakes it in the corner, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm not going to just like let him shoot. Pump fakes, sidesteps, and shoots the three, cans it, and like the whole place just goes crazy. Like the people on the bench are like laughing at me and shit because I just ran freaking suicides on one end of the court all over the place. But that was really my welcome to the NBA moment. And also during that game, I screened the shit out of KD, and he said, "Oh damn, good screen." And that felt really good to hear that from him. But that was my welcome to the NBA game, I think, was
nice.
me running all over defensively trying to stop the best starting five of all time, probably.
This is a question from me, and I remember this one vividly. The moment whenever it was Dirk's last game and you had to guard his on the last shot, I remember yelling at you, I need you to recount that moment.
We had a timeout, and you know, I misread or didn't really quite understand. I had a bunch of people in my ear telling me what to do and what not to do, because there was like, I don't know, like 10 seconds left or something, and Dirk had like 18 and 12 or 18 and 10, something like that. So I didn't realize that the goal was to just give him the 20 and 10 game to end his career. Like I was still out there, you know, trying to prove a point. And I think it was like our last game of the season too, something like that. So, I mean, I'm in there. I want to defend Dirk. Like, so I got the message mixed up because I had teammates and coaches telling me what to do, what not to do. But apparently at the end of the game, the message was to just let him shoot. And so I didn't know that. So I'm playing defense about as hard as I could play defense on anybody. And still, even then, it didn't matter because, you know, it was Dirk and he just shot over me. And you can see, obviously, Pop on the sideline then I knew I didn't get the message from the right person. So I'm glad he made it, because if he didn't make it, I don't even know if I'd still be here.
Question from Jordan Spurs on Twitter. He needs more info on the Thonis Antetokounmpo poster during the bubble. Was that your best dunk ever? If not, which one comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, the hype that it got and the feeling, that was probably my best dunk that I've had in a game. So I jumped, and then he jumped afterwards. And I mean, I did use my off arm, but so does everybody else who dunks. He jumped second, and so I used my off arm to push off. And he gave me like a great boost. Like I got up way higher than I would have if he hadn't have jumped. So I used him just as a booster, and they came down and dunked it. I felt like my head was above the rim. I felt like I was looking down at the ball because of how high I was. And then obviously I didn't want him to fall or anything and hurt himself, but that's just what happened. And then I think I got like a taunting technical or something like that, but. There's taunting, and you know what that looks like, and that was not taunting. I was just like, he was on the ground, so I looked at him because I didn't want to fall, land on him, and add insult to injury. That was by far my best dunk, and probably one of my most memorable dunks too, because I was playing really bad that game. It was our first game since March, and I was still getting used to the NBA speed and stuff, and so I was already pissed off in those last 2 minutes because I wasn't playing as well. Mm-hmm. So I probably took a little bit of that too. Like I really wanted to end the game on a strong note those last 2 minutes.
I have like a little precursor question, and depending on how it goes, I may just have this be my question. But you talked about KD like saying, you know, like good screen or whatever. Who's like the biggest trash talker, like the best trash talker you've gone like one-on-one against? Or is trash talking still like super prevalent?
There's not a lot of trash talk. I haven't really gotten into it with like trash talkers. Mm-hmm. I'd more say there's like shit talkers.
Yeah.
Like, and I'd say the difference is like somebody who's not like a shit talker would be somebody who's like not like talking at you, but just saying random stuff. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, trash talkers, I feel like, are coming at you saying, oh, like, you can't guard me, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Whereas shit talkers are just like talking shit to everybody. I would say the best shit talker would be that I've been around, and it's actually like entertaining for me, and I know other people get entertainment out of this too, is like Draymond.
Oh,
because he's just like hilarious the way that he talks to everybody, like his own teammates, the refs, us. Sometimes it is like trash talking, but a lot of the times it's just like shit talking. And nice. I don't know, it's just hilarious to me, because like maybe it's hilarious because it's not directly happening to me, but I think that's just he's probably the best one, and I'm sure a lot of people would say that too.
Sweet. Yeah, and since I claimed it was a precursor, I'm just going to go ahead and like steal another question. So this is from Josh over at Air Alamo. Will the coffee gang continue, and would Josh Primo need a permission slip to consume that much caffeine?
I assume it will continue. You know, since our leader has left, somebody's got to fill that role. It might be a team effort. That's something I need to consider and think about this year, is how we're going to continue that and continue our off the court, you know, activities and stuff, if we're allowed to do off the court stuff this year. But I would like to continue it because it's fun. It's fun to just get out and explore and just talk and really connect with your teammates and stuff. And, you know, Josh is more than welcome to come along, as long as, you know, his parents don't find out he's drinking that much caffeine. I'm sure it'll be fun.
Staying out past 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, we'll have him in bed before the street lights turn on.
All right, so sort of on that same note, you know, who's the funniest person on the team? I know we lost a lot of, or the Spurs lost a lot of players through the offseason. You gained a lot of players, but who's the funniest guy on the team? Like, who's fun to hang around?
For me, the funniest guy, there's a lot of funny guys, and I think there's different kinds of funny on the team. I like Derek because he, you know, he's got like the dad jokes and kind of like dry sense of humor in a way. And so I like him for his funniness. Keldon's immature, doesn't know when to stop, doesn't know when to shut up. Love him though, but he's a different type of funny. Lonnie, really goofy. He is almost as bad as Keldon. I mean, I would say one of the funniest guy the past 3 years for me has been Rudy by far. He's just like got so many, he's like older and he just got so many like older jokes and just everything that he says was just hilarious to me. But yeah,
that's amazing. We have a lot of funny guys.
different types of funny on the team.
Speaking of Derek, this comes from Chair Feline Meow, which is one of the weirdest names I've seen so far. You're at the mound and Derek White that bat. Who wins?
Oh. I saw this. It's not even a question because you're looking at one, Derek, a guy who stopped playing baseball, I think maybe when he was like in middle school. And then you're looking at me, a guy who was looking at getting drafted into the MLB coming out of high school. And so I'm not, that's not even, that really doesn't even deserve a response, but that's my response.
So clearly Derek.
Derek hit a home run in the
With the fences in. He did hit a home run. I'll give him that. He probably had a metal bat too.
Oh.
I'll give him that.
So this is from Angelo. He says, when I watch you play, it feels like you give it your all the moment you step onto the court. Do you have any tips on having that mentality so I could use it in other aspects of my life?
I kind of try to apply that with everything, and that's been something my parents have always instilled in me, is like, if you're going to do something, do it, you know, don't just half-ass things.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke at a Spurs camp 2 weeks ago, and that was my main thing I tried to relay to them. You know, they were anywhere from like elementary school kids, like maybe seventh or eighth graders and stuff, and I just told them, I was like, if you give it your all, you know, when you do your homework or when you take a test or when you're doing your chores at home, when you go and you have basketball practice, football practice, baseball practice, whatever, it becomes a habit and you just do it all the time. And I've said this before, you can make up for a lot of maybe lack of skill or understanding, or maybe the team you're playing is way more talented than you, or you have, or they just have like, they're just stacked. But you know, if they're not playing hard all the time and you got a group of guys that are just playing balls to the wall, playing their asses off, then a majority of the time you'll get rewarded for that. And that's something that the coaches always preach too, is, you know, the basketball gods reward you playing the game the right way, reward you playing the game with energy and attention to detail. So my biggest thing would be just try to give it your all in anything that you do, and it becomes a habit. And so that's something I've always tried to do anytime I step out there, so that I don't have regrets after the game. Like, damn, like I wish I would have dove on the floor for this ball, or I wish I would have screamed this guy harder so somebody could come off and make something happen, you know? So that's just how I look at it. And I also don't like, especially going into this off season, I didn't want to have any regrets as to how much I trained or how little I trained. Like, I really wanted to go as hard as I could now, so that when I'm halfway through the season and whatever happens, I can look back and say, you know what, like I did everything that I could. I worked on everything that I wanted to work on, and I did exactly what I told myself I was going to do before back in May. So just, that's just mentally for me, knowing that I can look at myself and say, you know what, I worked hard. I probably worked harder than him, and him. That helps me a lot too. Just mentally going into a game. So
I kind of wanted to throw it back. I know it wasn't exactly you said that you had a chance to maybe get drafted. Do you think that that would have been something you would have done instead of basketball? Would you have been a professional baseball player if you weren't playing in the NBA right now? Like, what would you be doing if you weren't playing NBA basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have looked into that if I wasn't playing in the NBA. Probably be overseas. And so depending on how that was going and stuff like that. But if you were to ask me anywhere from when I first picked up a baseball till about my senior year of high school, I would have told you that I was going to be a baseball player. I was going to pitch in the MLB and stuff. So that would definitely be something I would want to do. And in Oregon, there's not a lot of opportunities. Like, you know, there's AAU basketball and things like that. There weren't that many opportunities for AAU baseball in Oregon, where you can be seen by scouts and colleges and stuff, or at least where I was at. I didn't know of any. So the only time I was being looked at by scouts where they were like local scouts, and there may have been like four or five teams, I think, that were interested in me. But that would definitely be something I would look into. And, you know, I love baseball, and anytime, you know, postseason is about to start for baseball, and that's, I love that more than the regular season. So I'm about to be watching a bunch of baseball here coming up in October.
Nice.
That's awesome. Do you still, not to steal another question, but do you play MLB The Show at all?
No, I don't. I'm going to tell you, I get really, really pissed at sports games. And I get mad at like Call of Duty and stuff, but not like throw my controller across the room mad that I get when I play sports games. So I just don't even attempt to play 2K or The Show or Madden or anything. I know Q is playing. He really liked playing The Show, but like I said, I don't want to waste money on controllers, so I didn't want to get into that.
I'm just gonna say, like, I 100% relate to like the sports video games. Like during COVID, since my girlfriend got furloughed and I like didn't have any work either to do, obviously because I covered the Spurs, we 2K like every single day. We play 2K like just the two of us. I mean, because we live together, so we play all the time. And I was like on a heater. I was like 60-4 against her. I felt like I was the best 2K player ever. And then like at a certain point, she started catching up and like she figured out the game. Like she likes basketball. She watches basketball a lot. And like she started beating me. And I was like, damn, I don't really like this game anymore. Like she beats me too much. Like this is not fun. Like we played the other day. Like the other day we just turned it on because she's like, you want to play 2K? And I was like, I mean, I guess so. And she like beat me by like 20. I mean, granted, she was playing as the Warriors. And I think I was the Hawks, but man, it like pissed me off. I was like, damn, I don't even want to play right now. Like, I think I'm just gonna, like, we got to do something else.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I was beating her, like, we were playing, and I beat her, like, I think I was up 60 games to 4 on her.
That's awesome.
No, I had a good run. So like, for a little while, yeah. I had a good run, but it had to come to an end. She caught up to speed too quickly.
Yeah. That's like, I can't get my fiance to play video games with me. Like, so, but she'll play like Mario Kart and stuff.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, I just grew up playing that, and it hasn't changed much at all since like Mario Kart Double Dash on GameCube. Like, it's still the same game. So I would like, I'd get first place every single time, and she'd be getting like fifth and stuff. And then she beat me one time, and I never heard the end of it. So we don't like, I don't even really want to play with her anymore because it's like, I win every time. And then she still holds the one win over again against me. So
besides Warzone, what are games you play?
Play Warzone. Obviously, you just said that. I was just talking about, I play Mario Kart occasionally, Mario Party.
That's a tough game, man.
was playing Minecraft for a bit. I like that game. I haven't really been on it since. Well, I haven't really actually played it at all since Warzone came out. Play Pokemon some, because you gotta have the Switch or like handheld games on the plane.
Yeah,
because all the flights this year, you just gotta like Netflix and stuff like that gets old after a while. You gotta have something else. So that's mainly what I've been up to, is playing Pokemon and stuff. And I know some other guys on the team also play. Like I know I made Keldon get a Switch. He started playing it. I've seen Jakob play it. He would play it on his computer though. He would like download like a ROM and play Pokemon.
Oh, nice.
But other than that, like, that was pretty much the only game. I play, like, a lot of games on my phone and stuff, too. Like, Clash Royale and stuff like that.
And then the follow-up, what's your favorite Pokemon, since you do play Pokemon?
Rayquaza.
Nice.
Yeah. I was telling you you saw in my the canvases I had made the other day. I told Nick that I wanted Rayquaza in there. So if you look, you can see it with all the other details of that I had him do. Awesome canvases, by the way.
This one, it's a bit more of a shout out request, but from a really like hardcore group of fans you have. This is from Go Eubanks 14 Go. That's his Twitter handle. And he says, there are a lot of fans of Drew in Japan. We love your hustle and your toughness. You know, the way you play with so much toughness. Always watching the games you play. Could I have a quick word from you to all the Japanese Spurs fans? Because there actually are quite a few of Japanese Spurs fans. And a lot of them tweet about you.
No, I appreciate your guys' support and everything over there in Japan. I definitely want to come visit at some point in my life. Japan is a super cool country. You know, I got jealous when Keldon got to go because I've always wanted to go to Japan. There's just a lot of cool things to do there. And I actually did take, when I was in high school, I took Japanese class for my language. Mm-hmm. And so I did learn a few. I have since forgotten them, so don't ask me to say anything because I don't really remember much, but I used to be able to talk a little bit in Japanese because I did that as my foreign language when I was in high school. But no, appreciate the support. I always see y'all tweeting out and stuff and supporting us, and it goes a long way. Thank you.
I know you kind of talked about it last time, like places to get breakfast tacos or whatnot, but what's your like favorite like hole in the wall restaurant in San Antonio? Like, is there a go-to spot for you that you don't think like maybe a lot of people know about?
Okay. So it kind of continued from that last one. There's this place called Shiro downtown. It's a sushi place. And I recently just got into sushi this year. I had never tried it before until I went out to dinner earlier this year. And I went to Nobu and kind of had like a little bit of everything. And it was like amazing. Like I tried sashimi, which for the raw fish, for those of you who don't know, and then like other rolls and stuff like that. And so I just like fell in love with it. And so my fiance is really big on sushi as well. And since moving to San Antonio, we didn't really think that there was going to be a lot of like, you know, good sushi places, just because like it's not like, you know, all the good sushi places are on the West Coast, like California, Oregon, Washington. Obviously, Japan shares the Pacific Ocean and stuff like that. So we just didn't think that there was going to be any good places to go get sushi. So she actually found one of her friends. I think they both follow this person. It's San Antonio Foodie or something like that. Have you guys heard of that person before? But I don't know. But if you guys haven't, but apparently they're like, this person is really well known, famous on Instagram for her food recommendations in San Antonio. And so she got a tip that there was this really good sushi place downtown called Shiro. And we went there, and Haley's obviously had way more sushi than me because I just started eating it this year. She's had way more sushi than I have in her whole life. And she said that place is like the best sushi she's ever had in her life. And being from Oregon, you know, there's really good sushi. Portland's a big foodie spot. LA, we've been to multiple like sushi places too, or she has. And she said that this place in San Antonio, nothing compares to this place. And then we've been multiple times. That's our favorite place to go. It's amazing. Like, you guys have to try it. It's, don't take it from me, because my opinion doesn't really do for much, because I just started trying sushi this year. But she said it's her favorite place, and everybody else that we've talked to, and even like the waiters and servers there, they always say that. People always say that too, like, this is the best sushi I've ever had. And they apparently like fly stuff in and import stuff from Japan, and like fresh caught stuff from California, and all the stuff that goes into making good sushi, apparently they get it from all over the place. So definitely check it out. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I definitely have to check that out at some point. But before, I just want to ask one more question. You can even skip me next time if you want to, but I'm heading to Portland actually next month. Is there a place that I should hit up to get like the best food? Like, what is the number one place that I need to stop by since I'm going to be in Portland?
My favorite place in Portland, and it is a little spendy, but like, it's been my favorite place since I was like a kid. And I'm every time like my parents, they have their anniversary and I tag along, I make them go there. Or like anytime I have a birthday or something, I want to go there. It's called Jake's It's downtown. It's a seafood place. I mean, like, everything from, like, the bread you get to your entree and dessert is just, like, it's so good. And it's apparently they, I want to say they've been in business now for, like, 100 and something years, 120 years. And their bread, it's their bread, the sourdough, you know how they make bread? It's, like, with bacteria and yeast and stuff. Mm-hmm. Apparently that yeast is, like, 100 years old. Like, oh, the bacteria, man. They've been using the same, like, sort of way of making their bread, and it's like biologically, I guess, the same that it's been for like 100 years. It's really good. Oh, well, I know it sounds weird, but like the sourdough bread, like, it's just amazing. Love that place.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I'm super picky, so like sourdough bread is a good thing for me. I'll definitely eat that.
Well, you can get more than just sourdough bread, but that's like one of the best things for me is going there and getting that bread. So
sticking with the foodie, we had a question from Frank. He's curious of what your diet is to stay in shape the way that you have, because he hears things like Chris Paul going vegan to extend his career and Tom Brady basically hating himself with the diet that he has. He asks, what does your diet have slash consist of for as an NBA player?
So for me, I do not think I will ever be able to go vegan. That is just like, or even vegetarian, just because like, I have such a high metabolism where I'm just constantly eating. And so it would be really hard for me to do that without losing weight. I'm hoping this happens one day where the training staff or somebody just says, hey, we want you to lose 30 pounds. Cause that would be so easy for me, because I just like wouldn't eat and I wouldn't have a problem with it because my metabolism is so high. I would like be able to cut that down in like a month. But for me, what I like to eat, I mainly just make sure that I'm eating like high protein. I always have protein whenever I eat like a meal, whether that's chicken or chicken is my main source of protein. I eat 6 eggs every morning. I've been trying to do, I've seen this a lot recently where people recommend so that you don't lose muscle mass and stuff is to eat 1 gram of protein for every 1 pound of body that you have, body, whatever, your mm-hmm. weight. So yeah, I weigh, like right now, I need to cut down a little bit, but I'm like 255 right now. And so it's really informal and I could be a lot better at tracking that, but I try to eat 255 grams of protein every day. And so that, and then make sure you have your carbs and stuff along with that. And I eat a lot of sweet potatoes and brown rice. Those are a good source of carbs and stuff. By no means am I an expert on anything. I just Google stuff. Like anybody can Google stuff and try to, and there's going to be a lot of different opinions. So you got to kind of pick and choose who you listen to and stuff. But I mainly just try to eat a lot of protein, and, you know, there's a time and place for you to have, you know, your fast food and everything. And you can be smart about what you get at fast food places. Like if I go to Chick-fil-A or something, I really want to get fast food like that, I'll try to get like two grilled chicken sandwiches as opposed to like the fried chicken. Cause I mean, if you think about it, like it's not bad. It's grilled chicken and then bread. Mm-hmm. So it's like a lot of, like there's healthy ways to eat fast food. And there's also like a time and place where, you know, I want like Raising Cane's and I want to get like 6 cane sauces and, you know, dedicate 1 cane sauce to 1 chicken strip. So there's time and place for that, but you gotta and I do see The Rock out. Have you ever seen The Rock's cheat days?
Oh my gosh, yeah, dude.
I gotta figure out what the rest of his diet's like, because I would love to be able to do that once a week. Just eat like a dozen cookies and like a pint of ice cream, or like whatever else he does, like a big pot of like pasta and shit like that. But that would be my best advice. And I think it just depends on who you are too. Like you got to know your own body. Like if you don't have a high metabolism and you tend to like hold on to what you eat, then you might need to change a different approach. Maybe not eat as many carbs and stuff like that. Like I said, I'm not an expert. I just try to Google stuff and apply what works for me.
Okay. This one is from Too Mighty on Twitter, and he has a pretty cool, interesting question. What was it like having Tim Duncan as your assistant coach for a season? Now, like, I know that he seems to be in and out of the practices a lot, but was it any different, especially having him as, like, the assistant coach on the bench?
Yeah, it was. Before he became a coach, he was more of just, like, you know, he'd show up to like open gyms. You guys would see like videos and stuff of that where he would be playing. And I think there's a video of me playing against him one-on-one, and me and Jakob, like my first season. It was just cool because, you know, obviously he has so much insight and everything. And he kind of stepped into that role where he was coaching you and giving him some of his like tricks and ways of thinking about playing. Whereas before he was just kind of in and out, just there to play and just be around the practice facility still. So it was very cool, even though it was a short-lived for him to be one of our coaches, but it was awesome still to just, you know, I tried anytime he would talk, I do this with every coach, but you know, Tim, like he's been there, done that, lived it and played it. So I would always try to, you know, soak up everything that I could from him.
Sort of staying on that topic, what is like the most valuable piece of advice that you've received from, it doesn't have to be like a player or coach specifically, just from like anybody in the NBA that you've come across that's really stuck with you as you've continued to carve out a career for yourself in the NBA?
One thing, I wrote this down a while, or I mean, it was my first year. Let me find it real quick. But it was, Patty and I were really close, and I would always ask him, like, I was on a two-way, I was back and forth, so like, I want to take that next step and be like a roster guy and not have to like travel back and forth and, you know, want to be a part of the team, want to contribute and stuff. We would just always talk at dinners and stuff, and I'd ask him, what could I do, blah, blah, blah. And so one thing he told me that stuck with me, and it was in the middle of a game. I don't remember who we were playing, but I remember writing this down right after because I didn't want to forget it. And he said, well, here's my 2 cents for you, bro. If you can set hard screens, roll hard, and rebound, you'll be a beast in the system. And so I, like, took that. I was like, well, shit, I'm getting the keys right here. Like, these are the answers I'm looking for. Like, he's played with, you know, Tim, you know, he's played with Tiago Splitter. I'm pretty sure he was – I didn't really watch a lot of Tiago, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of the role that he had when he was here as well. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, absolutely no. You're right, okay. 100%.
Okay. So him, you know, Aaron Baines, all these successful big guys that came through who were, you could put them in the box as role players, but they were very critical to the team, very crucial. So I took that, you know, and that's really what I've been focusing on these past couple of years because that's been my role. You know, my role hasn't been to shoot threes and shoot and post up and all these other things that apparently everybody thinks you need to win a game. Like, it's cool if you can do that, but that's not what this team has needed the past few years. So I'm not going to branch out and force the issue if that's not what the team needs. So I took what he said, I wrote it down, and that's kind of been my driving force these past 3 years.
Sweet.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
So this is kind of a cool question that I've always kind of wondered about, especially like newer NBA players. Do you still have moments in games where you kind of sit back and you're like, oh, this is from Iffy with the Blicky, by the way, from Reddit. He says, do you still get those moments in games where you sit back and like, wow, I'm on the floor with like LeBron and Steph? And if you do, you know, and what was like your first real instance of getting starstruck, if you ever did get starstruck, like on the court?
I would say my first instance of getting starstruck was that time I was talking about earlier with the Warriors. But I mean, this year was the first year I've actually played against like LeBron and AD and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I was starstruck then. Or I was starstruck when I first saw him play and then starstruck playing against him as well. But one thing you realize, like, when, and I think this goes for fans a lot too, like you just realize that these are like people and they have lives too. And they have problems and their life isn't every, like all that it made up to be, you know, like it's not perfect and stuff. And so I do still get starstruck on like a basketball side, like, damn, like this guy's really fucking good. And things of that nature, but also like I'm not at the same time. I'm like, okay, he's human. He walks on two legs. He doesn't float everywhere he goes. You know, he's a person too. So I kind of do still, and kind of don't. And I've kind of just gotten more comfortable playing against these guys and knowing that, you know, I'm here for a reason. I'm in one of the most elite groups in the world, being able to play professional basketball, and you know, I belong here. So
yeah,
Yeah,
for sure. I can understand that. Like, it's funny, like, the first time, you know, when we played Call of Duty way back, like, we joined the Discord call, we joined the party, whatever, I was like, whoa, this is Drew Eubanks. Like, you're the first NBA player I'd ever talked to. And now, like, we've talked a few times, it's like, oh, I'm just talking to Drew. What's up, man? You know, like, I kind of get what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that's how I kind of, like, carry myself like that. I don't like it when people, you know, treat me any sort of different way just because, like, I'm in the NBA and stuff like that. Like, I have problems. You have problems. We have things that we do we're just human, you know, like, so, like, I've had instances before where, like, I've been out with Haley and we'll go to, like, Baskin Robbins or something, for example.
Yeah.
And the guy helping us is like, oh, hey, what can I get you? I'll go, blah, blah, blah. I'll get this and she'll get that. And then his coworker or whatever will be like, that's true, man. And I'm like, and I hear it and I'm like, okay, whatever. And then the guy's checking us out and he's like, hey, man, like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know you played in the NBA and stuff. Like, I didn't know you're Drew. Like, and I'm like, bro, I don't care. Like, I would rather you, like, not recognize who I was just so I could, like, get in and get out. Like, people think that just because you're a certain title or whatever that you command some sort of, like, respect. But that's just not who I am, and that's not who I want to be. Like, but that's just, like, a funny interaction that happens to me, like, quite a lot.
Yeah.
I'd rather just be Drew, not Drew the basketball player, you know?
Yeah, next time that happens, go back up to his coworker and read that guy's name and be like, dude, it's John from Baskin Robbins. Like, just mess with him.
Oh, man. This isn't, like, on the list or anything, but as someone who – or it might be. I don't know. I could have skipped over a question. But as somebody who grew up in San Antonio, I'm talking about myself, what is your favorite part of being in San Antonio? Because I know you don't necessarily, you're not there all of the time, but just the last, what, you've been there 3-4 years now?
Yeah, 3 years,
you know, what is your favorite thing about the city of San Antonio? And also, what did you think of Fiesta? Like, what was that experience like?
Fiesta was really cool. I learned a lot that night when we went. We had, I forgot what restaurant it was, but it was like this new restaurant bar thing that the Spurs had rented out for us because we had never got to experience Fiesta because it's normally in like March and April. And so we're still playing. So you never really get to experience it. But this year, because of COVID, they pushed it back to like June. And so I learned a lot. Like, I learned about like the medals and stuff that you can collect, you know, why they do. I was really into that too, because I like collecting like medals and pins and stuff like that. So I got a couple of those. And just it was really cool being able to see the boats go by on the river walk and everything and just learn. And it's similar. We have like there's parades probably like all over the place, you know, in different cities and stuff. But in Oregon, we would have this thing every year called the Starlight Parade, where basically like they would block off certain sections of downtown and, you know, bands and stuff and floats would go by and bands from like different high schools and stuff. They'd like march and everything and go through. So that's kind of what it reminded me of. I was just all like celebrating and having fun. And as far as like what I like about San Antonio, it's really cool. I like San Antonio because it kind of gives you that big city. I wouldn't say big city vibe. There's just a lot of people, but it's also really low key at the same time. And there's a lot of stuff to do. And it's just like it's a lot different than Oregon. And I think it's just really good for me as a person because there's a lot to do, but there's not like a lot of distractions, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And I live up by the rim and everything. And I spend a lot of time there and love that area up there. I love going to the Pearl there. I like going to the non-touristy area of the Riverwalk where it's like scenic and there's like you can do like walks and stuff like that, mainly like that area along the Pearl Riverwalk area. But yeah, I love San Antonio and I love this part of Texas.
All right, so I kind of have a weird question, and it's regarding your Wikipedia picture. So I just sent you the picture that that's on your Wikipedia, of course, and X Adios 468 asked on Reddit, please ask Drew about his Wikipedia picture. We need to know.
That picture, I want to say it's, I think it's at, it was at, maybe prom. I don't even know.
It looks,
I don't even know where that picture's from. And I don't know who changed it to that and how they got that picture. And I've tried changing it before and I have no idea how to change it because every other month somebody says, oh, look, what the hell is wrong with Drew Eubanks' picture on Wikipedia? Where like everybody else has like an action shot and like they look like halfway decent. Mine's like me with, you know, a lineup.
Yeah.
And like, and like short hair in high school. So yeah, I don't know. I really wish somebody would change it to something else because I don't know how.
So wait, so you honestly have no idea how they got that picture? Because it's super grainy. No. It kind of looks like somebody just took a picture of a picture and then just like put it on there.
Yeah, I don't. Well, they zoomed in first. I think they zoomed in and then, yeah, I don't know where that picture came from. Honestly, I don't think I have that picture on my phone.
Nice.
That's so weird. That is so weird.
The thing I'm like, Mom. Yeah, it's not really doing me many favors.
I saw one that actually isn't on the list, kind of scrolling through Twitter. And it was a picture, I believe, of you at Fiesta. How did you enjoy your first Fiesta? Like, what'd you do?
Yeah, we were at that like rooftop bar thing, and it looked right over at the Riverwalk, and we got to, you know, just eat some food, BS, just hang out. And watch the boats go by, and then watch the people down on the bottom. And I don't know how they do this and or why do they do this, but and how there aren't more accidents of people just falling into the Riverwalk. But have you guys been down there before? And they have like the lawn chair set up right up against the Riverwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't get how people don't fall into the river like constantly, because those chairs are no joke. Like right on the water, so the only way you're getting in is like hopping over the chair and sitting down, and there's like just people, there's tons of people down. I mean, even with COVID this year, there were tons of people down there just all crammed in together in these chairs right up against the water, and I'm like, somebody, we're gonna watch somebody fall, but nobody did. I don't know how it didn't happen, but yeah, it was wild.
I was always I remember as a kid, whenever we went down to the Riverwalk, I was always paranoid that one of two things. One, I was going to fall in, or two, I was going to drop something into the water and never see it again.
Yeah.
No, you know that water is like surprisingly clean. Like, I mean, I wouldn't like drink it. I'm not going to drink the water, but like if you scoop it up, it's like completely clear.
That's
I've seen y'all know like suckerfish and stuff like that in fish tanks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I've seen like, no joke, like a 2 foot long suckerfish in there before.
He's the reason it's clean.
Oh no,
he's soloing the whole river.
Yeah, to Noah's point, that's probably what it is.
That's awesome. I remember that picture because like around that same time there was a video of Derek like making a face at someone, and it kind of became like an in-house Twitter meme, like reaction picture of Derek. It's funny.
Oh yeah, I know what picture you're talking about. Yeah.
It's my favorite meme. It's honestly is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've asked you so many questions about like basketball, about San Antonio, but I guess just to kind of keep it back with the Spurs, I know you're going to be sort of like a veteran on this team this year. Like, is that a role that you're used to, or is this something new for you? And like, what are you looking forward to in being sort of, I guess, like a mentor to, I mean, there's a ton of young guys on this team. So just like, what are you looking forward to doing as a mentor for so many of these young Spurs on the team this season?
I mean, I always have tried, this is definitely going to be new for me, but I've always tried to, you know, with the new guys coming in, it particularly with Luka, Keldon, you know, Devin and Trey last year, it's when you get here, it's a whirlwind. It's a completely different situation. You know, you have coaches telling you this, that, you're in your own head about what you need to do. And so my biggest thing is just to try to, you know, the coaches, they'll give you your role, and then it's going to be different than what you're used to doing, or it may not be as big of a role as you had before, and just embracing that part and not getting too down on yourself is something I just always try to reiterate, because it's a process. You know, you're just going to come in and be that guy. It takes time, and it takes, you know, a lot of dedication and learning the system. And so that's just going to be my big thing, is just continuing when I get to meet Josh and Joe, you know, just try to be that kind of person that they could go to ask for advice and everything, and just try to be as good of a teammate as I can be for these new guys, because it's a lot, and people don't quite understand that. There's a lot of things going on just with basketball alone, let alone what other people have going on off the court.
This is going to be our last one, and this comes from Cam Biopala. I can never say names right. First off, they say love from Italy, but I think this is a really good question to end on. They ask, what is your mission in life?
My mission in life, I don't know right now. I just kind of, I would say there's probably like societal pressures to, you know, do this and that, and societal norms. I feel like a lot of people maybe know that from an early age, like what their mission in life is. And I'm still kind of coming into my role and still kind of learning as I go, just different things. Like one thing I've recently acknowledged and kind of embraced as a person is just, and being an NBA player, is how much of an impact like I could have, like just on like kids. And you know, so I did, like, we had like a Spurs camp 2 weeks ago where I went and talked. I told you guys about that. And then there was also that thing I did with Academy, where there were some kids that we took like back to school shopping where they could get some clothes and stuff. And I think just I never really quite understood how much of an impact I just saying hi or just talking to a kid or just like things of that nature. I didn't realize how much of an impact that has on those kids, and just how cool it is just to be able to, for them to say like that they talked to an NBA player or like that they learned something, and just try to give them advice. So I don't really know what my mission in life is. I'm still like very much in the present, and I'm still trying to get established with, you know, my job, and, you know, I'm going to get married in a year. And hopefully, thank you. You know, hopefully I have kids and stuff. So I'm still living life, and I'm still learning as I go. And hopefully soon I can say what my mission is, but I can only just try to do right and try to be the best person that I can be. And I know that's not a very, like, that was my best answer I could give as to what my mission in life is, but that's just stuff that I'm learning recently and really coming into, is just how much of an impact I can have on people.
Honestly, I don't think you could answer that any better. That was, and it's, I think that's been something that I think people will realize whenever they gain an audience, and like, especially you've gained a huge platform with what you do, and just finding that you can impact so many people in different ways. Cause I've found that I tend to impact other people in terms of what my content or stuff that I do is like, I'm very surprised by it. So just the way that you said, just the way that you are now kind of realizing that your impact on people and the positivity that can bring is, that's really something that I'm kind of relating with. And it's really interesting to see overall and see the different impact that different people can have in all sorts of different manners of life. So,
yeah. Well, even like, I'll give you an example. Like, I'm realizing how I'm having an impact on people. Like, so I think about, you know, I tend to not really think too highly of myself a lot of times, like in comparison to other people in the NBA, even though there's a reason that I'm here, there's like, obviously like I'm good enough to play in the NBA. I'm here. Like I have a contract and everything, but like, I compare myself and I don't really think too highly of myself at certain times compared to other people. And, you know, I'm trying to change that mindset and trying to be more confident and things of that nature. But for instance, for a kid, you know, who loves the NBA and I, you know, they're walking down the street, loves the NBA, knows damn near every player on every roster up and down. And for him just to be able to say, like, oh, like I saw Drew Eubanks at HEB today, like, or if he, like, if he comes and says what's up to me and stuff like that, like, that's huge. Even though for me, I may think, like, you know, the past 2 years, like, with the teams that we've had, I've been one of the last guys on the bench, except for this past year, you know. So for me, I'm not really thinking too highly of myself because of where I'm at. I know it's a grind and everything, and that's that. But for him, he's thinking, oh, shit, like, that's an NBA player. Like, that's really cool. Like, so if I can just be nice and, you know, say what's up to him, like, that just goes such a long way. Even though I'm not thinking it myself, for him, it does, or for that kid, you know. So that's just how I'm trying to think about things. And I really lately, now that I've been around more kids and I've been around more fans and stuff who have been a little bit more, like, vocal in their support and, like, and saying stuff to me at the store, I've really kind of tried to embrace that.
Going back to what you were saying, like, just not having confidence in yourself, it's something that I think everyone relates to at some point. It's something that I've had to deal with. It's like that imposter syndrome that you're making it somewhere, but you don't feel confident in yourself, and you don't feel like that. It's just, you feel like that at any moment you could just lose it all, even though that's most likely not the case.
Yeah. And
that's, like, I think that's something that a lot of people relate with. I know it's something that I definitely relate with.
Mm-hmm. And that you do have to have a little bit of that at the same time. Like,
yeah,
that, you know, you don't want to get relaxed and, you know, then things will happen, things that happen. But, like, there's a balance, and you want to be confident, but not overly confident.
No, what were you going to say?
Earlier, I was just going to tell you, like, I think you're 100% right. Like, you never know how much of an impact you can have, especially you with your platform. Like, I was going to tell the story when I was little, I went to Spurs camp, and at this point, I still thought, like, I had a chance to be an NBA player. Obviously, that did not happen. It was never going to happen. But I met Beno Udrih there, who, it's fair if you don't know who that is. He played for the Spurs for a very brief amount of time, and okay, he didn't have any reason to talk to me. But I had won a game of knockout against some of, like, the other second graders, and he came over and he was like, yo, that was really good shooting. Like, good job. That was really good. Like, you keep working, you have a really good jump shot. And, like, that for me was an NBA player telling me that. So I was like, okay, I have a shot at the NBA. Like, I'm going to go out every day, my backyard, like, shoot around. I'm going to make it to the NBA. It didn't happen, but just, like, him talking to me, taking that time, like, it inspired me to try to work harder to be better at what I am. And it stuck, like, even though I'm reporting on the NBA, it's a completely different scene. It's something that stuck with me my entire life. So you just, like, never know, because even Beno Udrih at one point, you know, he was, like, the end of the bench. And to me, that was still the coolest thing in the world. So I just want to say, yeah, 100% that, you know, it doesn't matter what spot you have on the team, you can have an impact on those kids' life for sure. Because Beno Udrih did, definitely.
You know, and those interactions, good or bad, can stick with a kid and can do different things. Like, I have an experience I'm not going to get into with an NBA player when I was in high school that was actually bad, and I still had stuck with me, and to this day, and it still, like, motivates me to not be that type of person. So I completely get what you're saying, good or bad.
But Drew, again, thank you so much for jumping on with us and answering everyone's questions. A shout out to everyone that sent in a question through Twitter or Reddit. This was a blast to have some funny conversations and some deep conversations. But again, Drew, thanks for joining us again for a second time.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys. Yeah, no, this is good. And I'm getting excited for this next season. And it's going to be here sooner than you think. I think October 4th is our first preseason game. So,
dude, heck yeah.
Get ready, Spurs fans.
Oh, yeah, we're ready, man. We're, like, dying. Yeah.
Oh. Spurs Twitter is having aneurysms of just trying to figure out what they want to talk about at this point. So.
Oh my gosh, you're telling me.
But Nick and Noah, go ahead and plug your stuff, starting with you, Nick.
I'm at Nick Yarbrough, NICYARBRO on Twitter, and also writing a little bit for Air Alamo.
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter at @N_Magaro. You can listen to my podcast, Alamo City Limits. You can find it anywhere from Spotify, Apple Music. And then you can find my words at Pounding the Rock. I was at Las Vegas Summer League. That was really awesome. Spurs fans came together, helped me get there. So if you were one of those fans who helped me get there, you know, check out my content, and I appreciate y'all. But that's about it for me.
And of course, you can find Drew Eubanks' content on the court with the San Antonio Spurs, or you can follow him on Twitter at DrewEubanks12. Drew, is there anything you want to plug randomly of your amazing content on the floor?
I mean, no. I got an Instagram. I don't even know. I think it's Drew the Tower.
Heck yeah, man.
That's mainly where I post stuff, but I occasionally post stuff on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at the Ty Yeager. Make sure to follow At The Line on Twitter and anywhere you find get your podcast, At The Line Pod, or also on YouTube. But for Drew, for Nick and Noah, I'm Ty, and this has been At The Line. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.